I'm interviewing this morning Mr. André Bellavance, candidate for the Bloc Québécois for the riding of Richmond-Athabasca. I have a few questions. Before I ask you a few questions, will you introduce yourself, Mr. Bellavance?
Well, I'm the Member of Parliament for Richmond-Athabasca since 2004. I'm the agriculture critic for the Bloc Québécois also. And I'm, again, the candidate, like you said, for the Bloc Québécois in this election.
So I have a few questions I would like to ask you, Mr. Bellavance, and my first one will be, this election is the fourth one you participate as a candidate. What difference do you find between this one and the previous elections?
What is different now from the other elections is, since I'm the Member of Parliament, people of my riding know me, and they know I can do the job. In my first election in year 2000, most people knew me only in Victoriaville. I'm from Victoriaville, and now most people recognize me all over my riding.
You see, my second question would be, you have 11 years of experience in federal politics, including the last 4 years as your elected member of the Bloc Québécois in the Parliament in Ottawa for the riding of Richmond-Athabasca. What are the achievements for which you are most proud for the riding of Richmond-Athabasca?
There are plenty of things that I could mention, but there are two things I'm very proud of. First is my bill C-445, which, if it passed, would help the retirees from Jeffrey Mine. And second, the unanimous motion that I made adopted by all parties at the House of Commons about the supply management system in agriculture and food.
One of your commitment to the campaign is to help pensioner of the Jeffrey Mine is to present against, if elected, your project bill C-45 in the House of Commons. Could you explain why this project bill C-445 is all about?
We have to remember that the retirees lost between 30 and 50% of their pension. This bill would give them a refundable tax credit of 22%. So, like an example, if someone was supposed to have 30,000 per year, but have only $22,000 per year, this person will have 22% of the loss, so 22% of $8,000. It's about $2,000.
I see. You have presented early in your campaign a local election platform. Can you explain some point of this platform?
One of the points is about the defense of supply management and make sure the future government in international negotiations at the WTO will respect the motion that I made adopted. I also think about the battle to maintain the student jobs in my riding in order to make a break to the rural youth exodus. One other battle is to modify the guaranteed income supplement to help the seniors to get what they deserve.
I see. You also presented early in your campaign the agriculture platform, accompanied with the leader of the Bloc Québécois, Mr. Gilles Duceppe. What do you think your party is the best to ensure the defense of farmers?
Like I said earlier, I made adopted by all parties a motion on the supply management, a system that is beneficial for Quebec agriculture. The Conservative Party is trying to make a free trade market for agriculture. We just have to see what they do with the wheat board and food and take away a system that protects more than 62,000 jobs all over Quebec. That's why I think our party is the only that always protected this system, and our producers can count on us.
I see. The main argument of the Conservative Party of Canada in Quebec is to question the raison d'être or reason of existence of the Bloc Québécois. Can you give some concrete examples of the gain Quebecers has obtained due to the Bloc Québécois as a political party in Ottawa?
The presence of the Bloc Québécois in Ottawa broke the reconnaissance of the Quebec nation, a partial deal on the fiscal imbalance, billions of dollars for health care, millions of dollars for the aviation industry, transferred that permitted the creation of maternity and parental benefits program. We're also proud to be the first to talk about the anti-gang law. to name only a few. In my riding, for example, I maintain rural postal offices, like in Saint-Albert, which were supposed to close, and I also maintain student jobs to many community-based organizations or some municipalities, like Saint-Rémy-de-Tinouic, for which I had to meet with the Minister of Human Resources and Social Development.
I see. My last question will be, what fears do you have toward a possible conservative majority government in Ottawa? Do you think you can win over voters from their other allegiance who rightly fear a conservative government majority?
I think so, because we saw what a minority conservative government can do. With a majority conservative government, we can be sure that the supply management system would be at risk, that the seniors won't get their modification for the guaranteed income supplement, the reconnaissance of our nation will not get any further and make a real sense, especially for our language, our culture, and our identity. With a right-side majority government, we get the country into an ideology just like Bush and the Republicans in the United States. In my riding, a lot of people that I met told me that they are liberals or NDP or Green Party, but now are going to vote Bloc Québécois this election to make a stop for Stephen Harper to get a majority.
I see. Well, I would like to thank you, Mr. Bellavance, for this interview, which no doubt have brought to your voters in your riding a better understanding of some highlight of your electoral platform and of concern to all eligible voters in Richmond, Athabasca riding. This is your host, JR, for CGMQ. I'm interviewing Mr. Éric Lefebvre, candidate for the Conservative Party of Canada for the riding Richmond of Athabasca. Could you introduce yourself, Mr. Lefebvre?
Yes. First of all, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to talk to the people of my wonderful riding. I'm 37 years old, and I'm a city councillor in Victoriaville since 8 years, and I'm graduate from University of Three Rivers in physical educator. And in 1990, I was a firefighter during 7 years long, and I'm married with two pretty child, 11 years old and 9 years old.
I see. I have a serious question to ask you, Mr. Lefebvre. And the first one will be, what is the position of your government about the manufacturing industry?
Yeah, you know, it's really important for our government to support manufacturing capital investment by abolish tariffs in a wide range of imported machinery and equipment. You know, this measure will save Canadian manufacturers $345 million and encourage increased efficiency through technical investment. You know, these measures are on the top of the across the board support the Stephen Harper and the Conservative Party are offering Canadian business, you know, including a cut of 2 cents per liter of the federal excise tax on diesel fuel, pardon me. And, you know, maternity and parental benefit to self-employed Canadians through the employment insurance systems and increase to $500,000 on the amount of income eligible for the reduced federal small business tax rate. You know, Stephen Harper and the Conservative government is really providing $200 billion in personal and corporate tax relief from measure implementation during our first term in office. You know, for me, it's really clear for the choice with the government of Stephen Harper.
I see. My second question will be, do you know how many jobs were created this past September in Canada?
You know, in September, job growth, the biggest ever record. I'm really sorry to interrupt Stephen Dion's full board panic, but Statistics Canada has a little announcement. Last month, more jobs were created than in any other one-month period in the 30 years that have been collecting that data. And, you know, the fact is, of the 107,000 new jobs 20,000 were in manufacturing, 45,000 new jobs were for the young Canadian, and 32,000 were created in Quebec, including 20,000 new factory jobs. And, you know, the total in 2008 job growth now standing close to 200,000. And we're really proud about that. And, you know, Canadian economy continued to be the strongest of the G7 countries with surplus budget, strong GDP growth, and low unemployment. But, you know, in this time of global economic uncertainty, all of that will be jeopardized by Stephane Dion, a risky tax. I'm sure it's not a good idea for us.
I see. Now, my next question is not, are the Canadian families better with a conservative government?
Yeah, of course, yes. Since 2006, the Harper Conservatives have introduced tax relief and benefit that have improved the live of average Canadian family across the country. And, for example, a typical Canadian family is saving $3,894 each year as a result of the Harper government tax relief and benefit. The Harper Conservatives have kept their promises to reduce the GST from 7 to 5%. And the 2 points reduced saved the average working family hundreds of dollars per year on day-to-day purchase only, not to mention 100 more on a new car or $1,000 on a new home. And, you know, a part of Canadian Universal Child Care Plan, the new Universal Child Care benefit helped Canadians balance work and a family by supporting their child care choice. This benefit of $100 a month, it's up to $1,200 a year per children, and it's paid to the parent for all children under 6 years of age. And, you know, a new tax-receiving account is starting in 2009, and the Canadian will be able to set aside up to $5,000 a year in a tax-free saving account, and the capital gain and investment incoming on the TFSA will not be taxed and be tax-free. That's many good news for the family of the writing of Richmond Arthabaska.
Okay. Now, will the re-elected conservative government invest in scientific R&D to help create jobs?
Yeah, you know, the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, reiterated his promises that a re-elected conservative government will invest scientific research and development to help create jobs and to help Canada reach its potential to be a world leader in science and technology. And, you know, our government has invested over $9 billion in scientific research and development to create the next generation of well-paying high-tech jobs. And it's really important for me because it's a good job for us. And, you know, $500 million to the Canadian Foundation in Innovation to support the modernization of Canada research and infrastructure. And that's really good news for us.
I see. My next question is, what amount was invested for fighting disease and promoting health for all Canadian?
Yeah, it's really important for us. And the first thing it's important to know is while the provincial and territorial government have a responsibility to delivering health care services, the federal government has a role in providing stable long-term funding, leading national research effort, facilitating knowledge exchange and sharing best practices. The Conservative government is proud of this record. You know, in budget 2006, we commit in implementing the 10-year federal provincial plan, health care, which including $5.5 billion to reduce the wait time. In budget 2007, we invest an additional $1 billion to support the province and territory. We are proud about our plans.
I see. My last question will be that what will be your priority for the riding of Richmond-Athabasca once elected?
Yeah, I made only one promise. In the first 100 days after my election, I want to regroup around the same table all the leaders of my riding in, you know, economic, social, farming, cultural, young and retired people. And together, we're going to make a list of our priority for Richmond-Athabasca riding. I want to know what's your project, and it's the most important thing for me is I want to know what's your project. And after that, it's going to be mine and in my suitcase for Ottawa. And one time a year in a public meeting, I show you the result of my work in the last year. And this time you're going to know the difference between have a MP with the government in power and I have one MP can do the job with the block. It's the most difference.
I see. Well, I would like to thank you, Mr. Lefebvre, for this interview, which no doubt have brought to you, your voter in your riding, a better understanding of some highlight of your electoral platform and of concern to all eligible voter in a Richmond-Athabasca riding. This is your host, JR, for CGMQ. I'm interviewing Mrs. Gwyneth Ellen Grant, Liberal candidate for the Richmond-Athabasca riding. Mrs. Grant, can you briefly introduce yourself?
Yes, hello everybody. My name is Gwyneth Grant. I'm from the Richmond area, Overton more precisely. I've been living there for 20 years now. Some of you may already know that I came here from England 20 years ago with my husband, who's a doctor at the SHU, and was a positive choice on our part to bring our kids to Quebec and raise them in a bilingual culture so that they would have the best of both worlds when it came to going out into the world. And for us, it's an experiment that's worked extremely well. And I'm now very proud to be the candidate for the Liberal Party and represent all the citizens of our riding, English and French, small businesses, farmers, mums, and young people, you name it. And that's it. And I'm here to work hard for the population of our area.
I see. I have a serious small question to ask you, and I will start by the first one. Mm-hmm. What is the Liberal Party of Canada proposed aid for small farmers and for small and medium-sized business for the riding of Richmond-Athabasca for environmentally friendly production and support for marketing?
Mm-hmm. Well, most people have probably heard of the famous Tournant Vert, the green shift, and in fact it was designed with just small and medium business sizes in mind to really help promote business from the grassroots up. This particularly appeals to my experience. I'm a beef producer and, as I say, from the townships. And we've had some hard times lately with the mad cow disease and the American border closing. So, in fact, you know, I can see the need for being able to do more transformation and marketing in our own area. There's already a group in Asbestos that exists called Viande Select des Cantons. You can get this meat in vegetarian, I happen to know. And this is producers who've got themselves together. And they did this under their own initiative with an abattoir and with an agronome. Now what the Green Shift proposes is to actually give financial aid to support people in marketing their own local products. Also, we want to support les paniers bio and promote farmers markets so that this makes the money turn more in a local economy. It also promotes shopping locally so that we use less carburant. We don't then rely on things being flown in from Chile and California, which actually cost a fortune in jet fuel and pollution. So if we can just go ourselves, say, to the market in Melbourne or down in Sherbrooke, and then combine that with a few other little commissions, then it means that we're actually making the money turn in our economy to our own producers. So the Green Shift exists for that. There's a $30 million plan in there to promote farmers markets and homegrown food. For small businesses and medium businesses, we're talking about a cut in corporate tax. We're talking about a cut of 1%, which actually represents a 9.1% tax cut. So this means that at the end of the year, you'll be taxed on practically 10% less than you were last year, you see. So it's a very interesting package that we've got going on there.
Okay. Voilà. My second question is related to for senior. What form of tax credit assistance or an improved income supplement revenue is proposed by the Liberal Party of Canada?
For the seniors, yeah. Well, we know that when you've got a limited income and you need to support yourself and you've got no other recourse to help, what the Green Shift has done is it's actually augmented, I think we can say it in English, it's raised the amount of low-income supplements seniors will receive. So for an individual, you'll get another $600 per year on top of what you're already getting, plus another $800 for a couple. So this is very interesting to help pay with the increased cost of living, which it seems to be inevitable these days, doesn't it? Apart from that, the other thing that's been thought about is help with long-term care, and also the fact that we just don't have enough doctors and nurses. We certainly don't have enough here in Quebec. It's really hard to find a family doctor. So the plan was launched, that part of the program was launched in Sherbrooke about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Mr. Dion came to the CHU to pronounce on that plan, and very interesting in that there's going to be $250 million to promote increasing the intakes in medical schools, in nursing schools, and also to help immigrants who have a medical training and come here to more quickly receive their accreditation on a Canadian level. These people have got sometimes many years' experience, but they're taxi drivers or they work in a bakery or something. But they're actually punished by not... They can't just go and take the exams. It costs a lot of money to do that. They have to support their families, so they put it off until they've saved. But we're wasting that expertise, and Mr. Dion has foreseen this, and he's actually put aside some money to help immigrants get their professional accreditation more quickly. So this will help our healthcare here as well, and also, well, from the nursing level and the medical level. So I think we have a very comprehensive plan, which is very, very exciting.
See. Now, here's the Liberal Party of Canada proposed to reduce taxes for taxpayers. And what can the Liberal Party of Canada, can he offer to reduce the cost of expensive drugs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is... When you have an illness which is quite rare or very specific, sometimes it's very difficult to get that accepted onto a drug insurance scheme. And so what we're proposing is a package of $900 million to help subsidize people filling their prescriptions on an everyday basis, but also specifically for very serious maladies. So instead of like having to mortgage your house or, not insulate the basement or something because you need to take special drugs, there's going to be a special fund dedicated to that. I think that also levels the playing field. If you don't have enough money to buy special drugs, then you do have to, you have to forego things. And it would be nice to think we could help people have a good quality of life and a standard of living with help for the things that matter most to them. So that's something that's also very close to my heart. I was a nurse before I became a farmer, so I know how... how stressful it is to go through these periods of illness.
I see. The first part of my question was, has the Liberal Party of Canada proposed to reduce taxes for a taxpayer?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I got stuck on the medicament. I was on a health care.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually a big deal thing of the Green Plan, the Green Shift. In fact, the way that's going to work... the taxes will be significantly cut on income and investment for Canadian families and businesses. And so the businesses, and we're going to shift those taxes to pollution. So the pollution will be the thing that's taxed, not people's incomes. So the way it's going to work, it will take place immediately, the action. But it's going to go ahead in a phased-in way, a prudent way. We're going to target tax cuts to address the challenges faced by low- and middle-income Canadians and reward investment and innovation by Canadian businesses. So say you're an inventor, you have an innovative project going on, there will be special tax credits for this kind of innovation. Sherbrooke especially is an area where there's a lot of research and development that goes on with the University of Sherbrooke. But even I was out in Chesterville the other day and I met a very interesting fellow who's invented a kind of a baler for picking up biomass. And biomass is another way of saying like branches and redundant scrub that say you're clearing land. Well, normally you just let it there to rot or bury it with a backhoe or something. Well, this guy's invented this machine with the help of some agricultural technologists, which actually bales up brush, and then this is like a big round bale which can then be transported to a site where it's chopped up and fed into a furnace. This is called biomass, and then it just creates heat. Well, this would have been a waste product before, but now it's actually something useful. I believe he was telling me that in the Abitibi, where there's a lot of forestry production, these machines are being used to pick up the what's left behind from chopping down trees. I'm losing my vocabulary now. And I want to say it in French, but anyway. So the branches and the rubbish which they leave on the floor, they take away the good tree trunks, and they're taking it to the hospital in Amqui, and they're heating the whole hospital, water and heating the rooms with this biomass. So they've cut enormously their energy bills there by using this biomass. So, see, but he didn't get any subsidies for that. He said, I did this on my own, you know, and I'm happy to do it, and it's something that people want. So it's this kind of thing. You see, in politics, there's quite often a cultural lag in terms of what people are doing on the ground and what the government comes up with to support them. I mean, yes, there are innovation funds, but people are going ahead and finding ways to meet the market needs. And what the Green Plan wants to do is to say, yes, go ahead, but we're going to help you. So so that's the thing. So not only will families get a reduction in at the level they're being taxed, but also businesses that are coming up with innovative projects will be rewarded. The other thing to say is that in terms of farmers, I myself had to fence every water course on the farm, and it was subsidized to some extent by the Quebec MAPAC there. That's but right. Nevertheless, I had to, you know, fork out the money up front. The Green Shift will recognize that farmers are the keepers of the environment, and they are doing the best they can. They're doing very well to protect our environment for the good of society in general. So this will be rewarded too under the Green Plan. So instead of being punished and taxed, as the Conservatives like to say, we're actually promoting the good behavior that actually people want to do, but we're saying, yeah, go ahead and do it, and we're going to reward you for it. So that's actually more the point of the Green Plan.
I see. Mm-hmm. My next question was related to the Green Platform, but you did mention the platform to some extent. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with the following question I have in my mind, which is regarding the diversity of Canadian art and culture. Mm-hmm. Is the Liberal Party of Canada intend to reverse the recent government decision to reduce subsidies and to support the economy generated through arts and culture?
Absolutely, absolutely. No question. We said we're going to reinstate that budget. Once again, this is an ideological move on part of the Harper government. They are just saying that they're going to choose what kind of culture we're going to get and have and who's going to produce it, and that's not the Liberal way. The Liberal Party has always been tolerant of all kinds of expression of culture. So that's it. What we're going to do is reinstate the budget, as I've said, but also with the role of promoting Canadian values and respecting everybody who's a citizen of this country. The way arts communities work is they're like PME, you know, a petite moyenne entreprise. They actually generate income around them. It's like a small business, And so it's very unfair to say, well, no, they're just doing it for the fun and the pleasure. No, they take it seriously. They're educated, and they have an expression to make about their view of what it is they find interesting in their particular milieu. I mean, Quebec has its own very distinct culture, and then Aboriginal culture is very distinct too. So all the way through, we should be supporting every level of culture, basically. It's like a sustainable development project. My daughter is an artist too, and I would hate to think that she couldn't go out and sing opera to heavy metal if she, you know, if she couldn't get a little grant somewhere to help her do that. You know, she's working two jobs to be able to support her life as an artist, and that's what it is to be an artist. They're not like rich people playing at it. They're people who really care about culture.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to thank you, Mrs. Grant, for this interview, which mm-hmm. no doubt have brought to voters in your writing a better understanding of some highlight of your electoral platform and of concern to all eligible voter in Richmond Athabasca riding. Mm-hmm. This is your host, GR, for CGMQ.
And happy Thanksgiving.
I'm interviewing this morning Mr. Jean Landry, independent candidate for the Richmond Athabasca riding. Could you introduce yourself, Mr. Landry?
Hello, my name is Jean Landry. I am an independent running candidate for the Richmond Athabasca riding, and I do have experience as a member of parliament in Ottawa. That is the reason for me to put my experience as a member of parliament to all the citizens of my riding.
I have a few questions I would like to ask you, Mr. Landry. And the first one will be, as you know, there an economic period in doubt is coming. What will you do for unemployment workers in Richmond, Athabasca?
With the surplus of $57 million from the unemployment insurance bank, which belongs to the employment workers, the directed capital is really inequitable for me. It is a death. The money belongs to the employed workers, and I will make pressure so that the members of hours of eligibility is low and increase the salary thing that the conservative rejected.
I see. I have a second question now. In 2006, the Conservative Party promised to increase the old age pension, promise that they did not keep. What will you do about it?
I will try very hard to get the money that the Conservative Party promised them, because when you make a promise, you have to respect it.
I see. My next question. The Conservative Party are proposing to close all post office in our small village and want to cut our mainman worker. What are you going to do about it?
Do you remember when I was member of parliament? They want to close 26 post office in small village, and this in the time I met the Minister of Post of Canada with Postmaster support, and I won. They did not close any post office. That is what you call a member of parliament that care for its voters.
See, in agriculture now, they are making ethanol with corn. What do you think about it?
It's very unfortunate for the beef producer, with because that the corn is too expensive, the producers lose a lot of money. We have all reserves for more than 200 years. The most important thing for me is to feed the population.
Now, my last question, what are you going to do to prevent your young worker from exodus?
I will try to get some investment and research and development, what will allow to create the jobs and stop the exodus.
I see. Well, I would like to thank you, Mr. Landry, for this interview, which no doubt have brought to voter in your writing a better understanding of some highlight of your electoral platform and of concern to all eligible voters in Richmond, Athabasca, writing. This is your host, JR, for CGMQ.